So today we celebrate this feast of Christ the King, which has a very interesting history and important that we understand it. And also today I want to continue the series of homilies that I've been doing on the importance of prayer. And so this will be a continuation of last week's homily, and then we'll go into next week. So, my dear brothers and sisters, today as we celebrate this feast of Christ the King, it's important that we understand why the church has given us this feast. And this feast was first proclaimed in 1925 by Pope Leo. And Pope Leo was facing a great time of secularism and nationalism that was happening throughout history. In his time in history, which is much a similar situation that we find ourselves in today. It's interesting that what is it that sends the world into chaos? And I don't know if we realize this, because I think that we, many times, we drink the juice. What I mean by that is we drink the Gatorade of the world, and we allow the world to form our minds and say, well, the world is going to heck in a handbasket because of politicians, or because of a political party, or because people are making bad decisions, or because nations can't get along. If nations could just get along, everything would be okay. And my brothers and sisters, that is drinking the juice, and that is not the truth. That is not the truth. The truth is much like the situation of Pope Leo, which is what is it that actually sends the world into a tailspin, is that they have lost sight of who God is. That is why the world is in chaos. That is why there is no peace among nations. That is why we have a major tendency to backbiting and fighting with each other, infighting, outfighting, left fighting, right fighting, middle fighting, is not because of a political ideology, but because the world have lost sight of who is king. And the church in its time and today is meant to always be a reminder to the world, which is why we are so hated, which is why the church is disregarded, is meant to be a beacon and a reminder of who God is, of who Christ is, that Christ is King. My dear brothers and sisters, this is a reminder that each one of us can use, because we ourselves can fall into the same trap that the world has fallen into. That is, we can blame everybody else. We can blame the government. We can blame our family. We can blame our neighbors. Every problem that we have, we can blame everything else except for what is really the truth. And my dear brothers and sisters, this feast calls us to remember not only that Christ is King and that God reigns, but is a reminder that God needs to reign in our hearts. That is how we bring peace to the world. by manifesting to the world our faith, by manifesting to the world the truth that God is alive, that there is hope. That is what the world is longing for. Don't let anybody tell you differently, because anything different is not the truth. And you say, oh, Father's going to get on his high horse. Here he goes. But the problem is we spend so much time listening to half-truths, quarter-truths, half-truths, half-truths. I'm giving it a lot of credit. Third-truths. And we spend so much time swimming in lies that we have begun to believe the lies. And because we have begun to believe the lies, one of the first thing that goes is God. Because we then think, well, in order to change the world, I have to change the political ideology. That isn't going to change the world. Because there is only one truth. There is only one truth. And that truth is God. And so today we celebrate, as we come to this end of the liturgical year, we celebrate this feast of Christ the King, and we ask the Lord that as we enter into the new year, which will begin next weekend with the first Sunday of Advent, that Christ may truly reign in our hearts. Because, my dear brothers and sisters, you and I will face a judgment. And as we hear in this gospel, as I was praying with this gospel, I was struck by the words, see you. I don't know if you heard them, but the word see you is used six times in this gospel. And I was asking, why are these words so important, or why did they strike me? Because a lot of times we can minimalize this gospel to the fact that Jesus is just saying, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick, and we're good. And there is, that is important, but we can minimalize it to saying, well, that's all that Christ means. And it's not. Christ is calling us to much more. And it's interesting, if you read this gospel, and I think it was last week that I sent you home to pray with this gospel, and I hope that you took that that opportunity, because as I was praying with this, and I saw those words, Lord, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison? And even when God is speaking to the other, Lord, when did we see you hungry? He uses it again, or thirsty, or naked, or when did we see you in prison? And I was struck by those words, see you, because I realized that a lot of the time, our problem with what puts the world in the situation that it's in is because we don't see the other. Not just the material needs of the other. This is why this gospel is not is not just about clothing the sick and visiting the sick and giving food to the poor. This is why this gospel is not just about that. But we give to others who are in need because we are able to see the situation of the other who is in need. But to see the situation of the other necessitates that we are not looking at just ourselves. And what is the problem with the second set of people that God is speaking to is, it's like saying, well, when, Lord, did we see you hungry? And when did we see you? You know, why? Because we were too busy looking at our own belly buttons. And this, my dear brothers and sisters, gets to the heart of our problem. We are so busy looking at our own belly buttons. We spend our days like this. We walk around. We walk around like this because everything is about me, my wants, my needs, what makes me happy. And so we're so busy like this that I can't see you because I'm paying more attention to this. And because my tummy is bigger, I have an easier time at doing it. I'm good at it. My tummy helps me. But my dear brothers and sisters, we are not called to this. We are called to this. We are called to looking at the other, to seeing the need of the other, but not just the material need of the other, but also to see the spiritual need of the other. How many people in a day, and I'm not just materially and spiritually, how many people in a day have we walked right by them? They're in a spiritual suffering, they're in a difficulty, and we just kept going. How many people? I invite you, see if you catch yourself this week, to how many people we just walk right by. We can see that something is wrong. We can see that they're in trouble. We can see that they're sad. We can see that they're suffering. We could even know that they're going through a suffering. And what do? We say nothing. Not my business. Exactly. Not my business. Not my concern. Exactly. That is why, my dear brothers and sisters, we may hear the words that we hear today. Truly I say to you, as you did it not to the one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Because it's not my problem. Not my problem. I have enough of my own problems. How many times have we said that? I have enough of my own messes. Exactly. Because we don't see the other. My dear brothers and sisters, today is a serious call of conversion. Because if we continue down the road of not seeing the other, we can end up in a lot of trouble. I don't know if you've read Dante's Inferno, but I highly suggest reading it. It's a fantastic, very vivid explanation of hell. One of the levels of hell, which every time I read about, I always fear for myself, is the level of hell for the people who are condemned. To only be able to look down at their belly button. This can happen to us if we don't take the call to conversion seriously. So how do we take that call to conversion seriously? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, the church gives us many tools. And one of these tools which enables us to see the others is that is that we are able to see God. So how do we see God? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, that comes from keeping our eyes raised to heaven. And how do we have our eyes raised to heaven? Well, this is why having a prayer life is so important. This is why having a relationship with God is so essential. And if we really think about it, like I said in the last week, I've been sending you home with these scripture challenges. And that, I've been saying 15 minutes a day. And I hope that you realize that what I am attempting to do is to get you to bite on a gift, but I can't force you to it. As much as I stand here and would love it to know that all of you are doing it, that would be fantastic. I can't force you. God can only offer a gift. I can't force you to take it. But I can highly encourage you, and I hope that as you have taken this 15 minutes a day with the Lord, or heck, I would be happy if you're even doing it once a week. I hope that you have maybe begun to notice that giving 15 minutes a day to the Lord is not exactly the end of the world. It's not asking much to spend time with the Lord. The Lord wants us to spend much more time with Him, but because we're like addicts to sin and other things and to our phones and to all those other things that distract us, we have to enter into a prayer life slowly because we're not very accustomed to it. And so I hope that you have noticed in if you've taken this opportunity seriously, I hope that you have noticed that that 15 minutes a day is really not asking that much. And as I have said, this is not something that's going to stop. It's going to continue. And so I can be I'm an amazingly persistent person. And so I can keep this up all day, every week, and we will. I can try to talk you into this for the weeks to come. I've got plenty of time, hopefully, and we will keep doing it. But my dear brothers and sisters, this 15 minutes a day has been a way to try to train you to spend time with the Lord, and also to take advantage of a wonderful opportunity that we have as a parish. One of the ways, tools that has helped and deepened my prayer life in a completely drastic way, one of these tools is actually an electronic tool that we spoke about last week, is called Holo. It's an app that is available through the App Store, and that we are rolling out to the parish. As I was saying last week, the parish has bought a subscription for us that begins now and goes through Easter Sunday. The way to access that is in the bulletin. There is a little reflection by me. And in the bottom, there is a QR code which you can scan. Once you scan this code, it will take you to a page, and all you have to enter is find your parish, and you will enter Elizabeth Ann Seton, and our parish will come up with our address. We also have a banner at the door which has a QR code which you can scan. Now, when you do that, this is going to subscribe you to this program and all of its wonderful content. It's going to ask you for $1, okay? I think that $1 is something we can all afford. That gives you full access to the content. Now, We're going to be explaining this more in the coming weeks, but the content is absolutely wonderful because it has many different ways of praying with many different options. And they're all in 15 to 20 minute snippets. Okay, so it's like a podcast, but it's a podcast of prayer. And so I'm going to invite you, the scripture challenge for this week is going to be scan the QR code, pay a dollar. This will get you into the content, and I'm going to invite you to find one thing to pray with this week in that app once a day for 15 minutes a day, and that will give you the ability to see some of the different content that it has. There is so much on there. It's also wonderful for children. We're going to be doing, as a parish, as we come into Advent, they have a prayer challenge, which is for the 25 days of Advent. It's a 15-minute a day, once a day through Advent, that we can listen to as a parish. And so we're going to be praying that together. The app has given us early access, so I'm going to let you this week download it, pay the dollar so that you can get into it, see the different things, and then as a parish through Advent, we'll be praying with that. Also for the kids, it has a wonderful, I know a lot of our families are already doing this, but it has wonderful saints that you can play in the car as you're taking the kids to school in the morning. Again, it's 15-minute snippets that the kids can learn about the lives of the saints. It has also, for children, mass preparation. You can put it into your, you can listen to it as you're coming to mass or as you're leaving mass. It also has this for the season of Advent, Mary on a mantle, which is an opportunity for you and your children to pray together as a family during the season of Advent, and to help the children prepare for the true meaning of Christmas, which is the birth of Christ. Like I said, my dear brothers and sisters, these are gifts. I can't force you. You can reject the gift. You can slough me off and say, there's Father, another religious zealot. He's on some new kick. And you can ignore me, you know. But my dear brothers and sisters, God is giving us a gift. It costs a dollar. What skin is it off our back to give it a try? What do we lose? What do we lose? We lose nothing. So I invite you, take this opportunity. I in no way think that this is the one way only answer to help people to pray. This is one tool. This is an extremely amazing tool that has helped me amazingly. Not all of us operate the same way. Some of us, we don't like electronic things. That's okay. I invite you to try it. Before you say you don't like it, try it. But also, we are going to be in December, I'm going to be rolling out another opportunity to deepen our prayer life and to deepen our devotion to Mary, our mother, which won't be through an app. I'm trying to reach as many people in this parish as possible, knowing and acknowledging that not one thing is any answer, but also inviting you to be open and take a risk on this. And so today, as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord that Christ may reign as King in our hearts.